Well, I preached a message early on in the pandemic about the importance of having grace overall. We've even had t-shirts made that you can pick up a t-shirt out there. And in anticipation of Thanksgiving coming in a couple of weeks and with all that's happening in our nation, I want to share a message I've called gratitude overall. And we're going to focus on gratitude. You like the way we paneled the church there? Anyway, I thought about calling it gratitude and gravy. Gratitude with gravy overall. Gratitude with a side of dressing. But anyway, you get the point. Thanksgiving and gratitude need to be a way of life for the believer. And speaking of gratitude, this past Wednesday, November 11th, was Veterans Day in America. And it's a day set aside to honor those who have served our nation in the armed forces. It's a reminder to each of us that we owe a debt of gratitude to those who stood their post in defense of our nation. And all of us who enjoy the blessings of freedom and democracy owe an expression of thanks and gratitude to you who have served. I wrote that and thought about that line from, from A Few Good Men about those of you who rise and sleep under the blanket of the freedoms that we provide, just wish you'd say thank you. So that's what we're doing today for Jack Nicholson and for all of you. We're saying thank you for what you've done and for the sacrifice you made to serve our country. And we enjoy the blessings of freedom and democracy because of that. So if you're a veteran of our armed forces, or if you're active duty or in reserve, but would you stand so we can just recognize you and express our gratitude and thanks to you for your service to our nation? So if you would stand, amen. Thank you to each of you. If you're watching on Facebook today, in the comment section, why don't you post maybe your branch of service, or you could post the name of a loved one or someone that maybe is currently serving or did serve, and we can honor them as well. But thank you so much for your service. Thank you for being here today. We appreciate you. Just as a simple little way of honoring you, there, we've got the flags of the branches of military service on the east lobby out there. Go around the corner and you'll find it. It's about right through there if you could walk through that wall. And so if you want to take a selfie with your flag from your branch of service or with your family or whatever, that's out there in that east lobby. But thank you again for your service and for what you've done. I thought about our veterans this week and about the freedoms we enjoy in this nation. And I also thought about the comments on social media, folks obviously concerned about maybe the direction of our nation and all the stuff that's happening. And I understand the concerns, and I, along with you, are praying for revival in a spiritual sense. We're praying for truth and justice and righteousness to prevail in our nation. But I wonder if it wouldn't help if we just stopped and remembered how blessed we still are as a nation. See, sometimes we get kind of distracted and we're just kind of reading one thread of social media, or we're just watching one repeated thing. And if we're not careful, we find ourselves so discouraged or distracted by all the news or the bad news or the media or by the disruption to our lives because of COVID-19 and our schools and our churches, and everything's just kind of messed up somehow in the whole mess of 2020. And in the midst of that, it's easy for us to just kind of forget to be thankful for the blessings that we still enjoy. And I just want to encourage you today, and we'll do so for these next couple of Sundays here, but don't lose your focus. And think about it, that even in the midst of all the bad stuff, we're still enjoying, as Americans, we're still enjoying the blessings of freedom and democracy in this nation. Listen, regardless of what you're thinking right now, there's no troops in the streets of Tulsa, at least not yet. Thank the Lord for that, right? And I don't know what the outcome is going to be of all the legal challenges and all that stuff in the election, but it still remains likely that if those legal challenges are defeated, there'll still be a smooth transition of power without military intervention. We can still exercise our First Amendment right to worship and to pray and to assemble today and to serve the Lord. We still exercise that First Amendment right to speak and to gripe and complain and to post all kinds of outrageous things on Facebook. I especially love the thing that I see from Facebook won't let you post, and then whatever it is. Facebook won't let you post the Lord's Prayer, so I'm posting the Lord's Prayer in protest. Well, if they won't let you post the Lord's Prayer, how is it that you just posted the Lord's Prayer? But anyway, you'll figure it out. Some of you this morning are exercising your Second Amendment right here sitting in this service. So congratulations to you. I don't want to know about it. Don't anybody pull out a weapon or anything, but I just happen to know that's probably the case. So what I'm telling you is, hey, we're still pretty blessed with our freedoms, right? None of that's been overthrown in recent days. America's still a place that immigrants dream of with a desire to share in the freedoms and the blessings that come with being an American citizen. And in spite of all the changes and challenges, we still have so much for which to be thankful. And 2020 may go down in your history anyway, in your life, as the worst year for you. For sure, it's been one of the strangest of my 65 years, but we still have reason and cause to be grateful. God's still in control. I said last week your homework was to try to memorize a scripture. I didn't do very well, but I kept working on Habakkuk 3. Though the fig tree does not bud and there are no grapes on the vine, though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food, though there's no sheep in the pen, no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I'll be joyful in God my Savior. The sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to go on the heights. And probably not talking about a deer like some of you have been trying to shoot in the last few. How you doing, Jeffrey? Have you got a deer yet? Mickey got, really? Okay. So, yeah. So, but probably not Bambi. Probably think more in like a Getty. Think more in like a sure-footed goat that's standing on the side of a cliff and you're thinking, how in the world did it get up there and how is it that it hadn't fallen off the mountain up there or whatever? Sure-footed. And here's what he's saying. Regardless of what's going on, I'm still going to have gratitude. I'm still going to praise him anyway. I'm going to thank him and live in gratitude, and he's going to enable us to keep climbing, right? He'll make us to be able to stand on the heights without slipping or falling or losing our place. So we just need to continue to thank him and praise him in spite of it all. Live a life of gratitude overall. And that's our focus today and next Sunday as well. Webster's Dictionary defines gratitude as a feeling of thankful appreciation for favors or benefits received. That makes sense, doesn't it? The Bible says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And forget not all his benefits, who forgives all our iniquities and heals all our diseases. We're showing gratitude and thanksgiving for all the blessings. And so that makes sense that it's a response to his favor and to his benefits. But think of it this way. Gratitude is a response to the answer to this question, where did it all come from to begin with? Because once we figure out where the blessings came from, gratitude is going to be our response. Now I know where to point that gratitude, right? G.K. Chesterton once said, the worst moment for an atheist was when they feel grateful and there's no one to thank. Thankfulness. Gratitude is the natural response to the answer to our question, where did it all come from? And we know the answer. We know it's all come from the Lord. Everything we have, everything we are, life itself, breath itself, comes from the Lord, the giver of life and every good gift. Paul, in his message on Mars Hill to the citizens of Athens, said this. He said, he's not served by human hands, the God who made the world and everything in it. He's not served by human hands as if he needed anything, because he himself gives all men life and breath and everything else. Life and breath and everything else, that kind of sums it up. We know the source. He's the one who's given us everything we have and everything we need. And if that's the case, and we know that it is, then our daily, consistent, every moment attitude and response should be that of gratitude and thanksgiving to the Lord. Gratitude for life. Live a life of gratitude. Gratitude overall. You see, let's just talk about gratitude for life for a minute. Every day we live is a gift from God, ordained by him. You're here, you're breathing, you're alive, you're watching online. It's because of the gift that God gave us. We were created by him and for him, according to his plan and his purpose. Be grateful. Our life, our breath, is a gift from the Lord, and we are to live in gratitude. The psalmist David wrote, "For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I extend gratitude to you. I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place. When I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be." All of it designed and has come from him. We know the source of our life. It's come from him. So let me ask you, are you grateful for your life? Have you expressed gratitude to the Lord today that you woke up and that you've been given the opportunity and the strength for another day? Knowing what I was going to preach this morning, I woke up a little before 6 and laid there a minute and thought, all right, Lord, I better start it. Since I'm going to preach it, I better start it. Lord, I'm thankful that I've got this day. I'm thankful that you woke me up this morning. The preachers used to say, he woke me up this morning and he started me on my way. That's exactly what he did. And you were able, you that are here, were able to, most of you look like you showered even and put on, and you got dressed and put real pants on and you showed up, you know, hallelujah. And you that are watching at home, I don't want to know, but God bless you. However it is that you're able to watch today, God gave you breath and enabled us to be able to understand and to hear and to function and all those things. He's given us strength for another day. You're alive. You're able to either, again, to come to church or to watch online. And 2020 may have been brutal, but let me tell you, let me just remind you, you've survived every day of it. On every weird, weird day, you survived it all. You're still breathing. You didn't suffocate wearing a mask. You're still breathing. You're still overcoming. You're still winning. You haven't given up. You're more than a conqueror through Jesus Christ. So the psalmist said, give thanks to the Lord, for he's good, for his mercies, his loving kindness endures forever. Life, we're to live in gratitude because he's given us life. He's given us the very breath that we breathe. Today, God's still at work. He hasn't abandoned us, and we have cause to be thankful today and to show our gratitude to the Lord. Well, not only has he given us breath and life, well, he's given us everything we have. Gratitude for everything we have. Remember the question, where did it all come from to begin with? Well, consider all you have and all the blessings. Consider just the physical blessings you have. And folk that are as old as I am, maybe you can look back and say, boy, I remember where I started and I never thought I would have what I have today. You know, I got money in my pocket. I never thought I'd have that. The Lord's blessed us. I've got a home that we live in. I never thought I'd have anything like that. I mean, I drove back through Muskogee here a few days ago, the house I lived in, and one of the houses I lived in isn't even there anymore or whatever, but you know, look at that little house, whatever thing. I never thought there'd be any different than that, you know. God's blessed us. There's material blessings that have come, but I mean, you can go to the basics. Sunshine to warm you on a beautiful, crisp fall day like today, a roof over your head, you had food to eat. If you don't have food to eat, ask us. We'll get you a bag of groceries before you leave here today. Or you can, if you're watching, contact the church. We'll arrange for you to get the groceries. But God's provision is there. Material possessions and blessings. Friends and family and people that love you and care about you that are looking out for you. The freedoms that you enjoy. Where you live. Every benefit. Stop and think about it. Did you earn all of that? Did you work hard enough to get all that? No. You say, well, I was lucky. I was fortunate. Well, I just caught a break. Well, it just worked out. Listen, nobody's that lucky. Nobody's that fortunate. It's the favor and blessing of God that even through all the struggles and the hardship and everything else, God's brought you through, that you're still here. Hallelujah. And you can look at it and say, no, God was the source of all the good. God was the source. God brought people into my life that cared about me. We learned that verse with the kids or whatever. Maybe mom and dad forsook you, but God brought people into my life. God brought a youth pastor into my life, or a children's pastor, or a preacher, or a friend, or a neighbor, somebody that came into my life and loved me and brought me into the family of God. Gratitude for everything we have. In the Old Testament, King David was collecting money and material to be used by his son Solomon to build the temple. David wanted to build it, and the Lord said, your hands are too bloody. You've been a man of violence and war, but your son will build the temple for me. And as David said, well, I'll collect the money. I'll get everything ready so Solomon will be able to build it when the time comes. So as the money was collected, David thanked God for it, and this is what he said. Praise be to you, O Lord, God of our father Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor, for everything in heaven and earth is yours. Yours, O Lord, is the kingdom. Now, we say that and we think about the Lord's Prayer. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. David, when he says yours is the kingdom, he's the king and it's his kingdom. And he stood up there in his little palace and looked out over the Kidron Valley and could look around and say, yeah, this is my kingdom. But here's David saying, but it's not my kingdom. Lord, this is your kingdom. Yours is the kingdom. You're exalted as head over all, not me, the king. Wealth and honor come from you. You're the ruler of all things. In your hands are strength and power to exalt and give strength to all. David's recognizing the source of his own authority as the king of Israel, that too has come from the Father, because he remembers he was just a shepherd boy tending his father's sheep when the Lord called him. And now, our God, we give you thanks and praise your glorious name. But who am I and who are my people that we should be able to give as generously as this? Everything comes from you, and we've given you only what comes from your hand. David recognizes where all the blessing comes from. And so he's saying, Lord, who are we that we've been so generous? People have brought all this money and resources and gold and silver and materials and all those things to build it. But we recognize that it wasn't because we had this to begin with. You gave it to us. And we're just conduits. We're just giving back to you what you gave us to begin with. Well, I'm grateful, God, that you blessed the people with money so they could bring it so we could build the temple. But everything we have comes from you. Everything we have comes from God. And what we offer to him today is just because he's first given it to us. You can't ever begrudge the fact that in our church we teach tithing or whatever, give 10% to the Lord. Well, I hate to have to give him the 10%. Are you kidding me? He gave you 100%. You're griping about giving him 10%? Where'd you get the other 90? Well, yeah, the Lord provided me a job and blessed me beyond what I expected, and so, yeah, I've got the money. Yeah. That's what David's saying. I get it. Everything comes from you. We've just given you back what you handed us. Don't you love that? Here, I want you to give me 10 bucks or whatever. It's ones. Don't worry. Don't be impressed. It's 20 bucks worth of ones. But I'm going to give you something so you can give it to me, right? It's what you do with your little kids for Christmas. Here's $10. Go to the store and buy your daddy something for Christmas, all right? And they buy a $5 gift and keep the $5. But anyway, everything you've received has just come from the hand of the Father, right? That's what he's talking about. It all begins and ends with God himself. So when we realize where it all comes from to begin with, the natural response is gratitude. I started with nothing, and he's given this to me, and our response is gratitude and thanksgiving. The little book of James writes, "Don't be deceived, my dear brothers and sisters. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows." It all begins with him. It all comes from him. He's the source, and our response to all the blessing, to the life and blessing that he brings, is gratitude. And we can moan and cry about our problems and how dark things look and the things we lack and the things we don't have, but a better plan is to give thanks for all we do have. Thank God for where you are right now, that you're not where you used to be. Thank God for all that he's graciously provided. We don't deserve it, but he's blessed us, and we can give him thanks. And here's the bottom line. You say, well, but I don't have that, and I don't have that, and I don't have that. But I can tell you right now, you've got more than about 85 to 90% of the rest of the world. And you stop to realize how blessed you are, then thank you, Lord, for every blessing. Try giving thanks for what you have. Live with gratitude overall. And then finally this morning, gratitude for grace. Being grateful for life and grateful for possession and provision, and that's all good. But above all, we should be grateful for the gift of God's amazing grace. Sarah didn't know what I was going to preach, and I didn't know the verse she was going to read this morning, but we've shared the same one from Ephesians 2. That Paul says, "As for you, you were dead in your transgression and sins." That's all of us. That's where we were. All of us, he says, at one time. We were gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. We were just living any old way we wanted. And like the rest, he says, we were by nature objects of wrath. In other words, we were deserving of judgment. We were deserving of the wrath of God against sin. And so we're living in that, and he says, then you come under that judgment. You come under that wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgression. It is by grace you've been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this not from yourselves, it's the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. Where did it all come from in the beginning? It all came from God's grace. It all comes from God's amazing grace. By grace you've been saved. While you were dead in your transgressions and sins, I don't mean like you'd managed to clean yourself up. You were dead in your transgressions and sins, and he died to save you. It's the gift of God. Saved by grace, not by works, not by effort, not by any merit of your own, but by his mercy and grace. One of my favorite verses is Titus 3, verse 5. He saved us. He saved you, not because of righteous things you had done, but because of his mercy. How did you get here? I got here because of his mercy, not by righteous things that I'd done, but because of his mercy. I tell people at every funeral I preach for a believer, listen, they didn't go to heaven because they were such a wonderful grandma or grandpa or mom or dad or brother or sister or friend. They went to heaven because they repented of their sins and put their faith in Jesus Christ. Because if you could get there, if you could earn your way in, well, first of all, based on what? You know, I don't want to stand before him and have him kind of weigh this out. Well, let's see. Let's see how the scales tip. No, because I'm going to lose every time. The scales aren't going to fall out right for me because I know my thoughts and I know my heart, whatever. But I'm throwing myself on the mercy of the court. I'm trusting in his mercy. And it's not because or by the righteous things I've done, but because of his mercy that he saves us. Folks, that's the good news of the gospel. And when you realize what he's done for you, the only response is gratitude. Listen, we weren't lovable, and some of us weren't lovely. We were sinners and messed up and away from God and running from him and wanted nothing to do with him, some of us anyway, and yet he found us and he reached out to us and he drew us to himself with cords of love and compassion, and he extended forgiveness and mercy and grace to us, and now we have been made heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. We're part of his family. Oh, how he loves us, and our response to that needs to be to fall on our face in gratitude and say, oh, we're so thankful that you love us. Put aside all the distractions. Forget about elections and prophecies about the future and COVID-19 and all the irritations and obstacles for just a minute, and just don't let your mind get distracted and focus for 1 minute on Jesus and all he's given to you and all the blessings he's bestowed on you, and most of all for the grace that he's given to you, salvation by his grace, and let your response to that be gratitude over all. This is what Jesus did for me, and our response is that of thanksgiving and praise and gratitude. Listen, it'll change your demeanor. It'll change your outlook. It'll change your perspective. It'll make you a better friend. It'll make you a better spouse. It'll make you a better student. It'll make you a better teacher, employer. It'll change things when you've got gratitude. When you go to a restaurant today, if there's gratitude overall, there you're going to get better service. And if you don't, you're at least going to brighten the day of that person who's on their feet 8 hours a day trying to serve grumpy Christians their lunch after church. I'm telling you, it'll make your wife or your husband feel happier if you'll just show a little gratitude. I remember a couple that was in this church. They were married for 50 years, and their kids were telling me after they'd both gone to heaven, they said, Dad always said, well, that meal was so good, I need to kiss the cook. And he'd always get up and go over and give his wife a kiss. And he did it for 50 years before he went to heaven. A little bit of gratitude goes a long way. You know what? Even if it wasn't that good, just go ahead and kiss the cook anyway. So gratitude over all. It makes a difference. Father Brennan Manning tells in his book The Signature of Jesus about an experience he had. And he writes, in the winter of 1968 to 1969, I lived in a cave in the mountains of the Zaragoza Desert in Spain. I'd like to be able to start a sentence, a paragraph that way, wouldn't you? Like, yeah, in 69, I lived in a cave in Spain on the side of a mountain. For 7 months, I saw no one, never heard the sound of a human voice. Hewn out of the face of the mountain, the cave towered 6,000 feet above sea level. Each Sunday morning, a brother from the village below dropped off food, drinking water, and kerosene at a designated spot. Within the cave, a stone partition divided the chapel on the right from the living quarters on the left. A stone slab covered with potato sacks served as a bed. The other furniture was a rugged granite desk, a wooden chair, a sterno stove, and a kerosene lamp. On the wall of the chapel hung a 3-foot crucifix. I woke each morning at 2 a.m. and went into the chapel for an hour of nocturnal adoration. On the night of December 13th, during what began as a long and lonely hour of prayer, I heard in faith Jesus Christ say, "For love of you, I left my Father's side. I came to you who ran from me, fled me, who did not want to hear my name. For love of you, I was covered with spit, punched, beaten, and affixed to the wood of the cross." Then he writes, "These words are burned on my life, whether I am in a state of grace or disgrace, elation or depression, that night of fire quietly burns on. I looked at the crucifix for a long time, figuratively saw blood streaming from every pore of his body and heard the cry of his wounds. This isn't a joke. It's not a laughing matter to me that I've loved you. And the longer I look, the more I realize that no man has ever loved me and no one ever could love me as he did. I went out of the cave, stood on the precipice, and shouted into the darkness, 'Jesus, are you crazy? Are you out of your mind to have loved me so much?'" I learned that night what a wise old man had told me years earlier. Only the one who has experienced it can know what the love of Jesus Christ is. And once you've experienced it, nothing else in the world will seem more beautiful or desirable. Friends, we need to be grateful. And when we realize what he's done, it moves us to stand in the entrance to the cave. It moves us to stare out over the darkness and to scream, "Jesus, are you crazy? How could you ever do this? Why were you out of your mind to have loved me so much that you gave yourself for me? He saved us by his grace while we were still sinners. He bore the punishment for our sin in his own body, in his own life." Listen, our only response surely would be gratitude. Oh, how he loves us, and our hearts are filled with gratitude. Where did it all come from to begin with? That was the question that has to be answered. And the answer is, it comes from him and from his love and from his grace. And our response to that is gratitude. "Jesus, what, are you crazy to love us this way? But oh Lord, all we can do is run to you and fall before you and bow before you and magnify you and worship you and express our gratitude and thanksgiving and praise. Gratitude for our life. Gratitude for the breath that we breathe that fills our lungs. Gratitude for every gift that you've given us, and most of all, gratitude for salvation, for the promise of heaven and eternal life, for that amazing grace." And so let gratitude change your perspective and your outlook and your response today and throughout this season. Let gratitude cover everything else. Let it flavor everything in your life and every response and the outlook that you have on the world right now. Just let it all be flavored with grace and flavored with gratitude. Amen? Let's stand together this morning. I want us to just take a minute to express our gratitude to the Lord today. Lord, we thank you for the life that you've given us, and we thank you for grace and mercy. We thank you for forgiveness that's ours through Jesus Christ our Lord, that while we were lost, while we were apart from you, while we were enemies of God, while we were running from you, while we were messed up and broken, living and dying in our transgressions and sin, you came to redeem us. You came to give us life and hope, Lord. You're the one that's made the difference for us, and we give you thanks, Lord. Our hearts are filled with gratitude for who you are and for what you've done for us, Lord. Oh God, we bless you today. You are gracious and you are good, Lord. And we honor you today. Thank you, Lord, for every gift that comes down from the Father above. Thank you, Lord, for every mercy shown to us. Thank you for all your benefits. Thank you for forgiving our sins. Thank you, Lord, for faith. Thank you, Lord, for friends. You've even given us a measure of faith so we can trust you. It all begins with you, Lord, and it'll never end with you, for your mercy endures forever. And so, Lord, thank you for all that you've begun in us, and he that's begun a good work will be faithful to carry it on out. You'll continue to work in our lives, Lord. So let our hearts be filled with that kind of gratitude and praise today. Lord, we bless your name. Aren't you thankful this morning? Aren't you thankful for what he's done? Can we just give the Lord a hand clap of praise and honor today? Thank you, Lord, for every good and perfect gift. Thank you, Lord, for all you've done for us today. Hallelujah. So here's your homework for this week. I want us to cover everything and flavor everything with gratitude. Gratitude overall. And to help you do that, I want you sometime during your quiet time or while you're sitting just writing on a piece of paper or whatever, write down every day, see if you can write down just five things you're grateful for. I don't care what it is. If you're married, you probably ought to hope at least to get a spouse in there somewhere or whatever, but thank God. What are you grateful for? Chocolate, apple pie, ice cream, popcorn. Thank God for air conditioning, for heaters, for fireplaces, for fire pits. Thank the Lord for fall and for, I don't care. Just make a list, 5 or 10 things or whatever, but do it every day. It'll kind of flavor things for you. It's a little harder to just fuss at everybody and gripe about everything when your mind is full of gratitude for all the good thing that God has done. Amen? You can even say, thank God for my church or whatever, but just a little flavor of gratitude in your life every day. I think it'll make a difference and it'll help you celebrate this Thanksgiving season over these next couple of weeks. Well, receive the blessing of the Lord today. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen and amen. Thanks for being here. Thanks for watching and joining us. We'll see you Wednesday night or next Sunday. Go in his grace and let's be grateful today. Amen.